All right, everybody, take your Bibles, please, and turn to Hebrews.
Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to read three verses, and if you could stand in honor of God's Word, we're going to read Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider them that endured such contradiction of the sinners against himself, lest ye, being wearied and faint in your minds. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just guide my thoughts. And Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help me to say everything exactly the way you'd have me to say. And Dear Heavenly Father, tonight I yield myself over to you. Dear Heavenly Father, we need to hear from you. We don't need to hear from me. I pray that you just meet with us tonight. And Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help your word to be spread out and encourage us and challenge us and help us to walk out of changed people because of you and your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Tonight I'm going to talk out of Hebrews and or preach out of Hebrews. And the title of my message tonight is Steps for Staying in the Race. Steps for Staying in the Race. You know, the thing about it is that oftentimes we're tempted to drop out. And sometimes we get discouraged and sometimes we get weary. But the thing about it is that we need to stay in the race. Hebrews chapter 12, these first portions of Scripture describe the Christian life as running a race. And truth of the matter is I've not been much of a runner through my life. I was always the one in basketball practice where if they messed up and the coach made us run laps, I was always giving them the dirty look, you know, and because I did not like to run. But the thing about it is that the Christian life is kind of like a race. It's we need to not be weary about running the race. We need to continue on. And you know, the thing about it is it isn't like a 100-yard dash where we give it all we got and then all of a sudden we get tired out and we quit. And, you know, I'm sure we've all heard stories about firecracker Christianity. It's like all of a sudden they go up, they shine real bright, and then all of a sudden they burn out and just fall to the wayside. And but the thing about it is it's more like a marathon. And a race requires endurance and preparation. And so, you see, too many times Christians nowadays in the Christian life are falling by the wayside, and it's because they're not prepared and they don't have endurance. And so my goal with the message tonight is that we might say like the Apostle Paul, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith, like it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. And there's three points that I want to make tonight. It's a very simple message, and it's steps for staying in the race. Number one is found in verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about in so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Number one is consider the saints. You know, Pastor mentions it a lot, and I agree with him wholeheartedly. You know, everything in the Bible is there for a purpose. And the awesome part about it is that, you know what, we can learn from every portion of the Bible. It's not there by happenstance, and it's not there just because he needed filler. And it is there for a specific purpose. And, you know, the thing about it is that the Bible says, wherefore we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Step number one is consider the saints. You know, the thing about it is you look back and you read the context. You know, the joke is that you know, if you take anything out of context, you can make it say whatever you want. It's just like the person that's trying to figure out what to do with their life, and he flips through and he says, God, show me what to do, and he flips through and he pokes his finger. Judas went out and hanged himself. Well, let's see, that can't be right. Flip through and whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And then he flips through. Go thou and do thou likewise. Well, the truth of the matter is that you know, you can't just pick several verses out. So you look back, and Hebrews chapter 11 is the hall of faith, is what we like to call it. And the thing about it is you look, most of the verses start out, by faith Abel offered unto God. By faith Enoch was translated. By faith Noah. And so on and so forth. It goes down through a list of the saints of God that have gone on before us. And the truth of the matter is you know, these are the heroes and heroines of the faith. And These are the people that are the great cloud of witnesses surrounding the race that we've been given. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't believe that they're actually sitting around just doing nothing but watching us. I believe that they are witnesses in a sense of kind of like a trial. As far as you call up a witness, and you call up Pastor Lance, when you were there at the scene of the crime, what did you see Aaron doing? And he'd say, well, Aaron was getting in trouble like always. And no, just joking. But Pastor Lance would witness what he saw Aaron doing. And the truth of the matter is that, you know what? I believe that the great cloud of witnesses is, the great cloud of witnesses are the people that have gone on before us that are able to witness about how good God is. And the truth of the matter is that, you know what? They have run their race. They were people that ran the race that they had been given. They were witnesses. They did not quit until the race was finished. And you know what? They are to be a challenge and an encouragement to each one of us. Consider the saints. You know, I'll be honest with you. None of these were really extraordinary people. And if you turn to James chapter 5, James chapter 5 and verse 17, you know, some people say, well, these, I tell you what, you know, that Moses, you know, you think of all these people and you think, man, I tell you what, these must have been just like super, super Christians. Well, James chapter 5 and verse 17 says this, 17 and 18, it says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months, and he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. The truth of the matter is you know what? A lot of these Christians were just like us. And here's the thing is, you know what? The great things don't happen because of us. Great things happen because of God. And, you know, the thing about it is that, listen, these Christians, these heroes of the faith, they're not just extraordinary people that because of how great they were, they did great things and they made it into the hall of faith. No, it was ordinary people that decided, hey, I'm gonna seek after God. I'm gonna do His will. I'm gonna be totally yielded to Him. And the truth of the matter is, God took an ordinary person and did extraordinary things with them. And these are the people that surround us, this so great a cloud of witnesses, that can testify, hey, God is able to take an ordinary person and do extraordinary things with him. And, you know, here's the thing is, everybody in here, I'd say, is an ordinary person. And, maybe some of them aren't. And I won't point any names, Logan. And, but the thing about it is that, you know what, there are, God can do extraordinary things with an ordinary person that sells out to God. And you know what? These people are the testimony, the witnesses that we have that says, hey, listen, God can do great things. And you know what? I believe God can do great things today just like He did great things back then. The difference is whether or not we're willing to sell out to God, whether or not we're going to yield ourselves to God and allow Him to do great things in our lives. I'll be honest with you. This is why I'm so excited about our veteran service. I tell you what, so many people here at our church have said, God, this is what you want, we're going to be praying about it. We're going to go to the cottage prayer meetings. We're going to take and we're going to pitch in all that we can. I tell you what, all these pictures and whatnot are not my pictures. They are pictures of individuals from Calvary Baptist Church that said, hey, listen, I want to be a part. All the memorabilia and whatnot, every poster that was hung around town, every postcard that was passed out. And listen, I believe that great, extraordinary things are about ready to happen at Calvary Baptist Church because a group of individuals said, you know what, I may be an ordinary person, but I want to see God do extraordinary things. I tell you what, this should be our encouragement. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, God is able to do great things. But you know what? We have to be yielded to Him. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, the Bible says, henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. The truth of the matter is they have those saints, the crowd of witnesses, they have their reward. And you know what? We need to be striving for that reward too. They have revealed to us that God is reliable. I'll be honest with you. The thing about it is that any time I have failed in the Christian life, it wasn't because of God. It was because of right here. The truth of the matter is God has never failed us. God is the only person that has ever said, you know what? I have never failed. He is the only one that can honestly say that. And the thing about it is sometimes you ask a little kid, especially like a really young one, have you ever sinned? Have you ever failed? No, I haven't. Well, you just lied right there. But anyways, the thing about it is that, you know what? God is reliable. God is absolutely dependable. If you look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For I have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now the thing about it is this verse is very interesting. It talks about being content with such things as ye have, and then he follows it with, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now here's the thing is, I may not be the smartest guy in the book, but the guy on the block, but here's the thing is, you know what? That tells me that I'm to be content because I have everything I need. And what I need is a God that never leaves me. And so the thing about it is we need to realize that, you know what? When God is all you want, you realize God is all you need. And we need to get to the point where we realize that, you know what? Hey, listen, we don't need the fanciest clothes on the block. We don't need the nicest car. We don't have to have the biggest house. We don't have to have the highest paying job. We don't have to have, hey, listen, what we have to have is a walk with God. What we have to have is tapped into the power source that only God can give, the Holy Spirit. You know what we have to have, I'll be honest with you, when we walk with God, we realize that God is all we need. Content. The Bible talks about godliness plus contentment equal great gain. The thing about it is when we realize is that, you know what, hey, listen, I have everything I need because I have a Savior. When you look back at it, I tell you what, you just remember back with me the day you got saved. The day where, you know what, before that day, we were lost and on our way to hell. That if we were to die before that day, you know what, we would have ended up in hell. But you know what? Jesus Christ, He sought us, and the thing about it is when we got saved, you know what? Our destination changed. We became a citizen of heaven. You know what? Our feet never have to touch hell. And one day we're going to be walking on streets of gold. One day we're going to be able to cast our crowns before Jesus. You know, one day we're going to be able to see our Savior face to face. And that alone is enough. You know what? I'll be honest with you. That alone we don't deserve. When you consider everything, I'll be honest with you, I know me, and I'm the last one that deserves it. You know, I feel like Paul. I'm like, Paul didn't know me when he said, you know, I'm the chiefest of sinners. You know what? And the thing about it is that, you know what? Christ is all I need. It's just like the song, Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need, all I need. I tell you what, He is. And these saints have revealed the fact that, you know what? Christ is all I need. They're up there saying, you know what? I can testify on how good God is. I can testify on how reliable God is. And the truth of the matter is you know what? Christ is all I need. This is why, I'll be honest with you, this is why I love testimony time. Because it's a whole bunch of people raising their hand and saying, let me tell you about how good God is. Let me tell you about what God's done in my life. Because the truth of the matter is it encourages the rest of us. It says, hey, listen, God has been faithful. Let me tell you. Let me be a witness of everything that God has done for me. And the truth of the matter is it encourages the rest of us, and it helps us to realize that God is all we need. I used to listen to a radio broadcast growing up, Stories of Great Christians. And I tell you what, that was challenging to me because, you know what, they showed the life of these great Christians. And you know what I saw through that? I saw that these were ordinary people that God did extraordinary things with. And I looked at them and said, you know what, I'm an ordinary person. Well, that's debatable. But no, just joking. But you know what, I can be used by God too. And so the thing about it is we need to consider the saints. Step two, back to Hebrews chapter 12, consider self. Now, I'm not talking about like oh, I need to make sure that I get everything I want. No, just joke. But it's not like that. It's Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We need to make sure that we make proper preparation. See, the thing about it is the wise runner must make careful preparations. Are we willing to make the preparations and the sacrifices necessary for running the race? The Bible says, let us lay aside the weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. So there's a difference between weight and sin. You know, the thing about it is that automatically I think a 300-pound person isn't gonna run a race. And, the truth of the matter is a lot of us, we couldn't run a race. You know, I wouldn't try and run a race. I maybe try and walk a race, but I wouldn't try and run a race. And I haven't prepared for it. But the thing about it is that, you know what? We need to prepare because there are certain things in our life that will slow us down. And they will get us discouraged from running the race. When we start to see that those things are slowing us down and hindering us from doing what we should be doing, the thing about it is we need to get those out of our lives. Sometimes it could be seeking entertainment instead of communing with God. Seeking possessions and things of this world instead of seeking God. Giving attention to things like music, television shows, movies that do not focus our mind on the Lord. The truth of the matter is anything that distracts us from serving God, distracts us from walking with God, is a weight. And there can be some good things, so to speak, not necessarily sins, but things that weigh us down, that keep us from serving God. And those are the things that we need to get out of our lives. The Bible says also, let us lay aside all sins. You know what? The Bible says the sin which does so easily beset us. This is the besetting sins. This is something that we're tempted with on a regular basis. This is something that it seems like we struggle with. This is something maybe that the devil tries to tempt us with. And it keeps on coming up. And it's easy for this Christian to be tripped up and fall out of the race because of this sin. The Bible says that we need to make sure that we lay aside every sin. And so we need to make sure that we lay aside the weights, lay aside the sins. And also, the Bible says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. This is the runner that's settling in for the long haul. This is the person it's not the person that's sitting back and waiting to see what God will bring in my life. It's somebody that stands up and says, you know what, I'll face the trials in life. I'm going to take and get plugged into the Word of God. I'm going to be proactive. You know what? I'm going to be reading the Bible. I'm going to be seeking God's will and not just hoping God will just bring it to me. And the truth of the matter is this is the person that says, you know what? I'm going to be praying. Anytime there's a prayer meeting, anytime there's a time of prayer, I'm going to be there. Anytime the doors are open at church, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be serving God. And so that, listen, when God wants to get a hold of me, I'm going to be somewhere doing something with the right attitude, with the right spirit, and listening for the voice of God so that when God speaks, I'm going to say, yes, Lord, thy servant heareth. The truth of the matter is we need to be running with patience the race that is set before us. You know, we need to be running with patience. I'll be honest with you, too many times we as Christians, we're very fickle. And it seems like too many times I've got a sermon I preached to the young people a long time ago, is pendulum Christianity. And it seems like we're spiritual one day, and then we're having a hard time the next. We're spiritual one day, and then it seems we just have that pendulum kind of Christianity where it seems like we're not consistent, we're not patient, we're not enduring. And what happens is that we need to get tapped into the power source. We need to get a consistent walk with God. Listen, I'll be honest with you. When we get the mind of Christ and we start viewing things like God, see, God is a very consistent God. The Bible says, "I change not." And so the thing about it is that the closer we get to God, the more consistent we're going to become. The closer we get to, the more we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, the more the fruits of the Spirit will be evident in our lives. We can't just say, "Well, I'm going to work on being patient and forget God altogether." Well, I'm going to work on having joy and forget God altogether. I'm going to work on this fruit of the Spirit or that fruit of the Spirit or that. You know, no. What you do is you go to the source for the fruit. And that's where you get the fruit. And the truth of the matter is where we get the fruits of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And when we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, that's when the fruits of the Spirit are evident in our lives. And so the truth of the matter is that notice the words, the race that is set before us. We each have our own race to run. And here's the thing is that I'll be honest with you, God has given us a specific place or a specific race to run. Now, the thing about it is that, you know what, Aaron could try and run Pastor Lance's race, but at the same point in time, he wouldn't do a very good job. But you know what, Pastor Lance, God has called him to this church, and you know what, he does a spectacular job. Oftentimes, I wonder, why has he even asked me to preach? but anyways, the truth of the matter is you know what, I believe God has specifically placed Pastor Lance in this church, and God has said, this is the perfect place, this is his race to run. And we all have our race to run. And the truth of the matter is that, you know what, we need to run with patience the race. We need to say, you know what, I have a part to do in this church. I have a part to do in this community. I have a part to do in the lives of my relatives. I have a part to do, and the truth of the matter is nobody can run our race for us. Josh, I cannot run your race for you, buddy, and you can't run my race for me, and nobody can run Logan's race. And but anyways, if you haven't guessed already, I love harassing people, and Logan was my teenager growing up in the youth group, so I'm just accustomed to harassing her. And so anyways, the thing about it is that nobody can run our race for us. And we need to run with patience the race that's set before us. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 1. This is a very interesting verse. It says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." Now, I remember going to the zoo in New Jersey. There was a free zoo, and this had a lion. There was a lion in the zoo, and it was pretty cool. And anyways, all throughout the zoo, whenever this lion roared, you could hear it everywhere. And you know what? You know what the lion didn't do? Roar, roar. Hope nobody heard me. And no, roar! You know, and you heard it all throughout the zoo. I tell you what, you know, the thing about it is automatically when I read that verse, I automatically think about the one where I lost it. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Hey, listen, there's times where, you know what, we need to get some boldness about us. We need to be like the lion and say, you know what, hey, listen, everybody needs to hear, and not my message, but his. I tell you what, we need to go out in the community and say, hey, listen, everybody needs to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everybody needs to hear that they need a Savior. Everybody needs to hear about the love of God. Everybody needs to know that, you know what, sin has a consequence, and we need to turn from that sin. And the truth of the matter is we need to get some boldness about us, like a lion that says, hey, listen, nobody's going to tell me I can't roar. No, I almost fall off the platform. And nobody's going to tell me. And the truth of the matter is that, you know what? We need to have some boldness about us. And we need to make sure that our focus is right. I tell you what, there's nothing worse than a bold person that's wrong. And you know what? And everybody's thinking, does this idiot know how bad he is? And seriously, he doesn't even know what he's talking about. You know, we get the boldness when we've been with Jesus. And the truth of the matter is we need to make sure it's his message and not ours. And so, but we need to get some boldness. We must guard our priorities, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus should be our focal point. And you know what? We need to not look at our circumstances. Too many times, I'll be honest with you, I have a hard time with the same thing. You start looking around at the circumstances, and you start to say, well, you know what? That really isn't optimal for this. And, well, you know, and we start making excuses for why we're not doing what we should be doing. And at the same point in time, then I'll be honest with you, one of the most convicting things that you can do is go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and start reading Hebrews chapter 11. And, let's turn there real quick. And Hebrews chapter 11, I got to find it. And Hebrews chapter 11, and it talks about all the things that they endured. Now, here's the thing is, let's see. Verse 36. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, the bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were cut in half, basically. They were tempted, they were slain with swords, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. I tell you what, this is a description of the Christians, the saints that we're supposed to be considering. And you know what? What happens is that we see, my circumstances isn't that. I haven't been cut in half. And if you have, I suggest going to the hospital. And but the truth of the matter is, you know what? We haven't been beaten. We haven't been all these things. You know what? The truth of the matter is that we haven't had cruel mockings, trials of mockings, and all these things. And so what happens is we see that, you know what? Circumstances don't dictate how God can use an ordinary person to extraordinary things. The truth of the matter is you know what? Circumstances don't dictate whether, well, if, you know what? So-and-so's in a better situation than I am, so God should be able to... No. God can use anybody that's sold out to Him. God can use ordinary people to do His work. So step number one, consider the saints. Step number two, consider self. Step number three, the most important, is consider the Savior. And the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. You know what? I'll be honest with you. When you stop to consider His entire life, the Pharisees were after Him about, you know, it seems like every little thing. Everywhere He turned around, He had trials. You know, the thing about it is that you look at it, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Now, the thing about it is I look at it, if somebody came to me and said, hey, listen, Pastor Wellman, you're going to be nailed to a cross. You're going to die a slow, agonizing death. There's going to be a spear through your side. You're going to have a crown of thorns. And, and you list off the crucifixion. I guarantee you, I wouldn't be going, yay! No, I'd be like, what? You know, no thanks. And but the truth of the matter is, the Bible says, for the joy that was set before Him. Here's the thing: is I believe that Christ wasn't looking at the cross; He was looking beyond the cross. You know, the thing about it is that He knew. I believe that, you know what? 3 days later, He's going to raise from the dead, and He knew that because of the cross, I would be saved. Because of the cross, those saints that were saved would be saved. And the truth of the matter is, He knew that sin was condemning us to hell. That because of sin, you know what? We were condemned. We were on our way to hell. And you know what? Jesus Christ knew that because of the cross, because of the suffering, because of the anguish, because of the crucifixion, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sins. You know what? It took the cross for us to be saved. And you know what? Jesus was looking at that cross as a way for salvation for all believers. He knew, He was looking at the day that we would be in heaven, redeemed for all ages. The day when He would reclaim His glory. I'll be honest with you, I believe that that's what He was looking for. That's why He could say, who for the joy that was set before Him. Here's the thing is, consider His resolve. I'll be honest with you, He was born in a manger. He's born to poor parents. His life was threatened. It seems like, just so many things. You know, He was raised in a despicable town. What good thing can come from Nazareth? You know, the thing about it is that I've heard a couple of people. I love Bucyrus. I've heard a couple of people, well, there's nothing going on in Bucyrus, and so I'm moving. Well, the truth of the matter is, God can work in Bucyrus just like He can in any other town. And you know what? I believe that it's going to be evident and has been evident through this church right here. And the truth of the matter is that, you know what? You look at all that He was hated and despised by some. He was, He was rejected. He was betrayed by a close friend. He was left alone. And you know what? He was tried before the high court of the land and tried with tried with things that he was not guilty of, and he was executed as a common criminal by means of crucifixion. You know what the thing about it is that I believe part of the reason why he did this is so that he could relate to us. The truth of the matter is that, you know what? God knows what we're going through. And you know what? God went through such an extraordinary life so that he could be an example to us. The Bible says that he is our example. And the truth of the matter is that, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I look at his life and I look at my life and thought, you know what? I got it really easy compared to him. And imagine just the weight of, you know, we feel like we get stressed every now and then. Imagine being responsible for the sins of the whole world. No thanks. You know? Now, I don't even want to be responsible for my own sins, let alone my wife's. Seriously, she's a wicked sinner. No, just joking. But anyways, the truth of the matter is that, you know what? Remember, when we're running the race, we need to consider the saints, consider ourselves, and consider the Savior. And you know what? When we do this, it'll be hard for us to get discouraged. It'll be hard for us to get in despair. Because I tell you what, you know what? All we have to do is look at the Savior and how much he loves us, how much he cares for us. Look at everything he's given to us. If he would have stopped at salvation, it would have been a lot more than we deserved. If he would have stopped at salvation, it would have been more love than I could ever show to him. Salvation would have been enough. But instead, he decides that, you know what? I want to have a relationship with you. I'm going to give you the Bible so that you know, so that you're not wandering. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know what? We don't have to walk in darkness. He's not just telling us, hey, listen, live your life. He says, hey, here's how to live your life. The Bible says we can come boldly before the throne of God. We can pray. I'll be honest with you. You know what? God is so good to us. God has given us more than we ever deserve. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word and for the prayer and for salvation. And Dear Heavenly Father, just the one point of considering our Savior is just convicting. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to run with patience the race that is set before us. Help us lay aside every weight and every sin which does so easily beset us. Help us to run with patience the race. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.